Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10. Leaps his tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has done something. 22 to Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. It is Friday, baby. The weekend is around the corner. I am listening to that clip, our intro, much differently now that yeah. Debo
Same.
Put us under the gun.
I was just thinking about
had
that.
A little pop quiz on that, so now I'm actually paying attention to that intro.
Never forget.
Yeah, exactly. But we have a big show for you. We're going to get to Reed Forgrave, one of our writers here at CBS Sports, does an outstanding job with college basketball. He's actually at the SEC tournament, but he's going to help us break down all of March Madness as we prepare for our brackets, get the college basketball discussion going. We've got our five-star Q&A because it's Friday. We got some good questions for that. Tiger is back. Raja was watching him every single shot, you know, just
Word.
Dialed in. NBA streaks. The Rockets are hot. And we're going to do some unwritten rules of sports. Some we like, some we don't. But let's get some college basketball because
sure.
there were some great games yesterday. The story for me in Alabama's Colin Sexton had a game winner that was incredible, might have helped get Alabama into the tournament. Remains to see how they do against Auburn today. But for me, I don't watch much regular season college basketball. Like, just full disclosure. Like, I don't know. I feel like the product has been diluted. I like to watch recognizable names.
Yep.
So that for that reason, I was watching a lot of Trae Young, which
right.
was kind of forced down our throats all basketball season. But there was a guy, Michael Porter Jr., who was actually only played 2 minutes this season before he injured his back, had, you know, to go through rehab surgery, comes back for the first time yesterday from Missouri against Georgia. They lose 62-60. He was 5 of 17. He had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 23 minutes. I was watching him, and I was thinking a couple things. I'm like, one, I don't see this guy as a player who's ready to go to the NBA at all. And then I was like, well, maybe he's not fully healthy yet.
Right.
What were your thoughts when you were watching him?
Well, I got to watch him in high school. And so I could see where if you hadn't had that that type of experience watching him, you wouldn't know. But his game is a lot like Kevin Durant in that he's really long. He's really rangy. He can play on the perimeter. Explosive also with that length. So it's not like he's a stiff. He moves really well and really fluidly. You could tell yesterday that he just was not himself. Like, physically, you know, coming off of a back injury like that and a surgery, there was very little bounce. He looked frail. He didn't look like he had the benefit of that freshman year. And on the other side of that, his younger brother, who was clearly option number two on their high school team and not really mentioned in the same breath, he looked fantastic. Like, and he was sixth man of the year in the SEC, but he's had the benefit of a freshman year full of weights, full of experience, full of on-court kind of learning on the job. And you could just tell how important that is to a kid. For everybody that says that these guys are ready to go, all of them are ready to go straight from high school, I thought it was obvious yesterday, having robbed him of that freshman year, the experiences, the weight room, the coaching, the on-court work, he was just that far behind everyone else, having not had that freshman year.
Would you be playing if you were him?
I would. I mean, I think I saw something the other day where, you know, a handful of general managers said they would like to see him come back. I don't know the nature of the injury in terms of like how scary it is to NBA franchises, but if I heard or my camp heard that people were questioning whether I could come back and look like myself, I'd probably play with the understanding that the GMs aren't stupid. They know that I'm not going to be 100%, but I'm back on the court. I'll have months to kind of get myself together so that I can show right at the workouts that I have to go to, so on and so forth.
I love the fact that he is playing. Like, and I think it comes down to the point where, and you see this in college football a lot when guys send out bowl games, right? They say, hey, I'm going to get ready for the draft. I don't want to risk injury. If I'm evaluating players and I have two similar skill set players that I'm evaluating, I'm a scout or a GM, I would always lean toward the guy that wanted to play.
Who competed.
Like, I want to see a guy who likes to actually play the sport. And I
right.
think that's what it showed me about Michael Porter Jr. I think it would have been easy for him to say, you know what, I'm going to get ready for the NFL, for the draft.
Sure.
And I'm going to go ahead and get healthy. And I love the fact that he actually wants to go out there and try to make a run in the tournament.
And you know? I think there a little backstory on that is he, I think someone from Mizzou tore an ACL. So one of the major cogs in their wheel tore an ACL. And so you know, that it speaks to the character, kind of to your point, because very easily he could have been like, listen, I'm a top 10 draft pick. Like, good luck, guys. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, and he even said in a post-game interview that with all the injuries, he felt like he needed to do that for the team, try to give what he could give, understanding that it wasn't going to look great.
Yep.
So, I will say I did love the energy behind him, though. Like, he got a standing ovation when he came out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the part that people want. Like, people were so hyped to see him. And I wonder if that got to his head a little bit. Like, if he was so nervous, was feeling the pressure. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he can do now, but I'm glad that that game is out of the way.
Yeah, he needed that one before the tournament. It would have been dope if he could have got two in the SEC tournament and then kind of got his sea legs under him.
So he is projected from NBADraft.net. It's a pretty good site. He's projecting the draft picks as number two overall in the draft. So he's obviously got some potential there. With all these games that are on, they're starting to unfold, like, this is the time where I actually do get into college basketball. Because the college basketball regular season feels meaningless to me. Like, and that's its biggest knock, because you get 68 teams in the tournament. You know, it's not, they don't matter as much. So what do you watch for when you dial in?
Yeah, like at this time of year, I guess conference tournaments, I want to see if there's anybody out there that could upset somebody. So when I start filling out my brackets, I want to see if, like, the Middle Tennessee States or the Tennessee Chats or the Appalachian States, like teams like that, I want to see if they're viable and if they have a chance to upset somebody. I also want to see, like, if I'm being a fanboy, I want to see, like, those big games in the ACC, like those ones that I grew up on, like Duke, North Carolina, ACC championship. I think it sucks that they get each other in the semis, you know, but Virginia's a cool story. Like, that's what I look for in conference. And then in the big dance, I am looking at, like, storylines. Yeah. I want to see players. I want to see players that don't normally get, like, a national stage and are trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get to the NBA draft, trying to pull their team to the Sweet 16. Like, those storylines, individual storylines, is what I'm looking for mostly in the big dance.
I love watching games that matter, for one, because it's elimination. Like, your season could be over, and definitely over when you get into the tournament. But I like watching for buzzer beaters. Like, I think most fans, like, you want to see a play like Colin Sexton when there's 4.4 seconds and they're down one and he drives the length of the floor. And that was such a sweet floater through the lane. Like, little, like, that was
kind of, I think it was it wrong foot? And kind of like, it was a tough
but
finish.
But he made it look effortless, which I think is what great players do. We're going to do a bunch more with Reed Forgrave later in the show on college basketball. He's super dialed in. Obviously, being a Mizzou grad, he'll have some pretty good thoughts on Michael Porter Jr., so we'll get to that. But it's time for
Take It or Leave It.
Oh, it's a little faster on that one. I like it. All right, so Take It or Leave It. The Western Conference second round will be competitive.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Take it. I'll take it.
Take it?
Yeah, take it. No, I think, you know, with teams like the Pelicans, Portland, you know, Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, teams like that really rounding out. You got OKC that, you know, they're always a wild card in there. You know, you don't want to draw them in the first round. I don't care who you are. I think there is going to be some drama there in the Western Conference second round. I don't know that the teams like Houston and Golden State are going to get upset, but I think you could see some teams giving them an extra game, a game more than people thought they'd give them, and then that middle of the pack race, that 4-5 in that range, I think it could be interesting.
Yeah, when we say competitive, like, I don't think they're going to be sweeps,
right?
You know, so I think there'll be 5 or 6 game series, which I think will be interesting to watch and be good for the NBA. All right, next up tonight,
Take It or Leave It.
Tonight's Rockets Raptors game is a preview of the NBA Finals.
I gotta leave it.
Leave it.
Yep. Thank you. Double down on the leave it. Yeah, only because I could see one of them getting there. I've said on record, I think the Rockets could beat Golden State. Don't know that they will. And I could see the Raptors beating Cleveland, but I don't know if both of those things happen. Like, that's too much of a gamble for me.
I'm leaving this all day. I feel like this is Debo's probably the first moment since we've done the podcast where this felt like a little hot takey, which I think we try to avoid. But I'm definitely leaving that one. All right, take it or leave it. LeBron
take
James
it or leave it.
Is more likely to join the Rockets, Lakers, or Sixers than he is to stay with the Cavs.
Leave it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't – look, I mean, he's down to a list of four, right? He's put his list of four out there.
Yeah.
And they are all on that. But
he hasn't put out the list of four. The Ringer's Kevin O'Connor had a tweet on Thursday that said, I've consistently heard from multiple league sources that LeBron currently has only four teams on his list, Cavs, Lakers, Rockets, Sixers.
Wait, why are you leaving it?
Why am I leaving? Well, because I think it's way harder to leave home. Like, that's his home. Like, he's got a compound there. Like, his his.
I mean, he left Miami pretty fast.
He's proven that he will leave,
I know, but
though.
Still, well, sorry, I'm bitter.
He left his home the first time to go to Miami. So his track record is that he will. I just think it's harder to leave home.
He's 110% leaving.
Really?
Yeah.
I would take it too. Good authority? I'm taking it, not on good authority.
Yeah.
I think first of all, it depends on how the season plays out. But sure. Like from a pure like risk perspective of this question, if it's the field or the team, I'm taking the field.
The field.
You have three options as opposed to one staying. And this team, as much as we loved it, the new Cavs 2.0,
So where are we going? Okay. Where are we going then if you're LeBron?
I would love to see him go to the Sixers. Thibaut's
you
over
guys
there just salivating.
Trashed that a month ago when I brought it up, though.
I know,
you remember that, right?
I did. But now, and this is actually one of the things that bothers me about it. Right. After they played each other last, we love you, you're the GOAT. And, LeBron's tweeting at Ben Simmons and Joel, we're great young players. I can't stand that, but I do feel like that's part of the you can start reading the tea leaves a little bit. He doesn't do that before every game after every game.
LeBron will stay in Cleveland.
Draymond was recruiting KD throughout that entire season. When they played each other, he was texting them after the game. We need you, bro.
It happens.
All right. Next up, take it or leave it. The Rams will pose the biggest threat to the Eagles' NFC title defense in 2018.
I'm taking that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I'm taking that. They were dope this year. Team on the rise. I think a lot of people had them in the Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
And they've only added to their ability to defend with, getting Aqib Talib.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep.
Talib. Aqib?
Aqib.
Yep. Aqib Talib.
If he doesn't get shot.
And they keep their... Did he shoot himself?
No, he got shot, right?
There were conflicting reports. They said the bullet entered the high,
It was that area where
exited,
if you're keeping it in the pocket
it
area.
It exited the calf, so it was like a downward trajectory.
I don't know this story. What happened?
Oh, yeah, he got shot a couple years ago.
But
missed.
It was himself?
He missed, he missed.
Well, they don't know, I don't think.
It was in Texas, right?
Yeah, he missed the trip to the White House, the celebratory trip.
Allegedly. Yeah. We'll throw that word out there.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
No, but exactly. I think they're legit. I think they're legit.
I'm going to leave it because I think the NFC has several other teams that are better contenders. I still need to see Jared Goff and that that offense, which looked great with Todd Gurley. I'm gonna see them do it again. But if you look at Minnesota, if they get Kirk Cousins, all of a sudden they look legit. Carolina's always gonna be in the mix. That NFC South feels to me like the division that's gonna have the better contender than the Rams. And the Seahawks, I think getting younger and moving some of these pieces out and putting some offense around Russell Wilson, I think will actually help them in the NFC West.
New Orleans still in the mix?
Anytime they got Drew Brees, I think you're a player there for sure.
Happened a little bit after our show on Wednesday, but impact of Michael Bennett?
I actually like that for the Seahawks. Rumors are they're going to let go of Richard Sherman. I think I like the Seahawks' chances better without those two players than I do with them.
Why?
I think they're both really, really outspoken players. Not only from a political aspect, but I think they're just really opinionated, and that's hard, and they're critical of their own coaches.
Yeah.
Like when Richard Sherman goes up and curses out the offensive coordinator, it's one thing to go after your defensive coordinator, but to cross lines and to go over the other side of the ball and start calling out stuff that you really aren't involved in, that bothers me. And I always feel like those players have been more of a distraction, and they'll get younger and cheaper.
So this story about Russell Wilson and his and there being a disconnect between him and Richard Sherman and that was a real thing in my opinion.
I think
they did a good job of putting it to bed, but I kind of agree with you. I was curious to see why you thought, but I think just from allowing Russell Wilson to be Russell Wilson and for that to be his team, him to be the voice of that team, the CEO that you always talk about, instead of it being, Richard Sherman and Bennett at the mic all the time, I think that's going to be really big for them too.
I think what bothers Bennett and Sherman and other players on the defensive side of that ball is that Russell Wilson is seen as this choir boy. And he presents himself as this choir boy, this perfectly molded quarterback, never says anything to the media. It's always cliche-filled. He's always super positive.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a eye roll from the other players in that locker room that they look at him and they're like, oh, really? This guy's getting a pass like that?
Is it
really? And I don't know Russell Wilson. I like him from a perception of, hey, great role model. He does present himself this way. But I feel like there's definitely an eye roll within that locker room from some of those players that they don't love the perception of him and the way he's treated differently than other players in that locker room. All right, take it or leave it. Tiger versus Phil will become a real and relevant rivalry again.
Correct.
Leave it.
Leave it.
We were all on cue with that computer man.
I am taking this all day long. Now, let me declare.
Take it. You've lost all credibility.
Let me clarify. Now, real and relevant.
Relevant.
Relevant rivalry. I think they get to compete against each other one or two more times. Like in a big Sunday
stage.
That's
not the take it or leave it question, bro. It was
that's a real
and relevant rivalry.
Yes, they
will compete
against each other.
Rivalry is not one more time on a big stage.
You don't think so?
No, that's like
I'll say two or three times.
Okay, well,
that'll happen.
That's closer to a rivalry.
All right, so maybe there's something in the middle of take it or leave it. But I'll do that. Phil's at 47, but he's just coming off a win. Tiger's 42, minus one. He's one under at the Valspar. Like, he's starting to play better.
They both look good.
Yeah, but there's a lot of young talent
that's the thing.
Dispersed in there. Which I actually prefer. I would love to see Tiger versus Phil versus Justin Thomas versus Rory McIlroy and Jason Day. Like, I would love to see all these guys on a Sunday.
Golf was good. Like, it's in a good place with all the young guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not deniable that when Tiger's in there and Phil is in there, like, it's just better.
I would love, take it or leave it, I would love to see our show at the Masters to watch this Tiger versus Phil. Yeah, take that all day.
I would need some serious extra entertainment if we went there. Oh, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
I think you would be surprised at the scene at Augusta. Like, a fun scene. Like, it would be different than anything you've ever experienced.
There,
yeah.
Right?
And like, it's in the South. Like, guys like to tip, like, they like to, you know, put back a few. They get a little rowdy, but it is very...
I could do it.
You could yell during backswings.
Yeah, no, I would prefer to like yell something.
It's a big party. Like, there's a lot of fun. There's a big party. All right, last one. This is Raja's specialty. Breaking the mold in baseball. Take it or leave it. Do you need an explanation?
I do.
All right, so the Rangers and Angels are both considering 6-man rotations.
As opposed to 5?
Yeah, or 4. It used to be like basically baseball has expanded their rotations, which I hate. Because I think it's like the softness of athletes nowadays. Like, we're so protective of guys. I hate it. I think this is very much analytics getting involved. Things like Aaron Judge being considered to hit leadoff. A guy who's basically your classic cleanup hitter, 52 bombs last year.
Sure.
Like, you're going to move him to the front of the order, just get him more swings.
Take it.
Oh, you're just doing that to fade
take
me,
it.
Aren't you?
Take it, baby. Yeah, I got to fade Danny. But
I don't know how I feel on this one.
I don't like stuff that's stuck in. Like, I'm always a guy that, like, why does that have to be that way? Like, why can't we try something different? I'm not saying that it's great or that it's going to work or that Aaron Judge should be the leadoff hitter or that rotation should be shortened or expanded, but like, give it a shot. If you see fruits, if analytics speak to it,
you're all about babying players.
Yeah.
Just make sure they only throw 80 pitches. Just make sure he only pitches once a week. Like, I can't stand all that stuff. All right. Did you guys know there's a brand new way to get your latest scores, news, and highlights? Yeah,
really?
I bet you guys did. Because we have your favorite sports right here at CBS Sports HQ. It's a brand new 24/7 streaming sports information channel that's always on. And guess what? It's completely free. You can stream it anytime on the CBS Sports app for Apple TV, Roku, your phone, and other connected devices. And as always, I've been doing this at my desk all day. You can watch online at cbssportshq.com.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, Steph Curry suffered an injury to his right ankle just 2 minutes into the Warriors' 110-107 victory over the Spurs. On Thursday, Curry came down awkwardly following a foul by DeJounte Murray. The two-time MVP and two-time champ has been ruled out for Golden State's two-game road trip. Steph missed 11 games earlier this season with a similar injury.
This one was a tweak. It was real tweaky. It was funky. He came down. He took a step after the play, so the foul really didn't have anything to do with it, and then he kind of tweaked his ankle. It just all depends on how bad his wheels really are. I don't think it's a major sprain. I don't think it's anything Golden State has to necessarily worry about in the future. But you know, it's unfortunate because his Achilles, if you will, are those ankles.
Another injury. It was a scary situation in Minnesota last night as second-year Celtic Jaylen Brown landed hard on his head and back on a dunk in the third quarter in what Kyrie Irving called full backflip mode. Al Horford said it was one of the worst falls he's ever seen. Brown laid on the floor for several minutes, but eventually walked off on his own and later tweeted, "Appreciate everybody. I'm okay. Got a headache, though. Good team win." Did y'all see this one?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm glad he's okay because that was a nasty spill. And a lot of guys have spills. Like, I had one like that in the CBA and broke my wrist. And you know, I was talking to a guy the other day. It's real funny. They asked me how come I didn't dunk a lot in the NBA. I said, well, I did in college and in the CBA. But when you're in the NBA with bigger, faster people and you're attacking that rim like that, all it takes is like one time that you can't really grab onto that rim and protect yourself and something like that happens, it kind of shifts your perspective a little bit as a player. You could get really hurt. So glad to see that he's okay.
The Timberwolves working their way towards a full roster of their own. Derrick Rose inks a deal with the T-Wolves. The former MVP was waived by the Jazz last month as he hopes to cling on to a once promising Hall of Fame-worthy career. Rose suited up but did not play in Minnesota's loss to Boston last night.
Jesus. I just hope. For D. Rose's sake, I hope that Thibodeau is the one guy who can bring the joy back to the game for D. Rose.
Hold on a second. Time out. Do you think Thibodeau's the guy to bring joy back
to the game? Not for anyone else.
Right.
Not for anyone else, but maybe there's a connection. He had him when he was a baby. Yeah. Like maybe there's an emotional connection there, and he can tap back into not the D. Rose physically of old, but the emotional and mental D. Rose of old, because you hate to see a guy. It looks like he doesn't really like the game at this point. Like, it's hard for him, and that sucks. Like, you want guys that were that good and projected to be that good to, like, still enjoy the game despite the physical limitations. So I hope it works out for him there in Minnesota.
Is he in the NBA to start next season?
No. Nope. Not unless it's Minnesota.
Dang.
How does his money work?
Long?
So he'll get it all, right? Like, but if he quits, like, is that one of the things where he can't quit?
I don't know that at this point he's probably on a minimum situation. Right. He's been bought out or something like that somewhere else. Now, the Adidas money is a different story. I don't know how that makes, because that was a whole lot of bread.
Because to me, it would seem you have to at least try to perform. But if you hang it up, then you're done.
Yeah, so that question, if you had opposed it in that way.
Right.
Like, yeah, maybe he's on a roster or trying to make a roster. Yeah. But His heart doesn't look like it's in it anymore.
His brother's making like $300K a year off his Adidas deal.
Yeah, brother's going to have him in a training camp somewhere. He'll be working.
All right, Serena Williams recently shared how she nearly died while giving birth in September. Tennis has to be easy after that. Well, Serena made her return to the court on Thursday, which was a perfect day to do that because it was International Women's Day. It was her first pro singles match since the 2017 Australian Open, which she won while pregnant at the BNP Paribas Open. The 23-time Grand Slam winner, Williams, advanced in straight sets.
All right, tennis hot take alert. I don't think Serena Williams wins another major. Looked awful when she came back and played the doubles match a few weeks ago. She struggled in his first round match last night. And let me say this, because I think this is
How old are your girls?
10, 9, and 5.
So you have forgotten completely what it's like for your wife right after pregnancy?
I am. But see, here's what I want to make sure we clarify this. Yeah. Because I think you would, if we said it's because of her pregnancy, we as males would get crushed for saying that.
Right.
And people all the time say, well, how can you say that? This is female. When Tiger Woods got married and had kids, people talked about how much more challenging it would be for him to focus. So I'm approaching it from an equality standpoint. If we judge professional athletes that are male of how their life changes when they have kids and when they get married, why don't we do it with women? And I think for Serena Williams, I think it is going to be extremely challenging for her to get back to the level of play that she was before.
Your focus shifts, your perspective and your priorities change.
And for a female, your body does change.
I don't question her at all.
And,
you think she's winning again?
I just think
she's a boss, bro.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
And her recent recent struggles are 100% because of the physical toll that it took on her body and the inactivity that she had to experience and stuff like that. But she's a machine, bro. Like that,
she's absolutely.
She's a machine. I think she'll win again. I think you're wrong. Danny's wrong.
We'll see.
Honey Badger on the hunt for a new home. The Cardinals have asked Tyrann Mathieu to take a pay cut. He's not necessarily about that. So after 5 seasons in the desert, the former All-Pro defensive back could be moving on. If Mathieu was still on the Cards roster by March 16th, he'll be locked in with a guaranteed $18.75 million over the next 2 years.
This is that time of year. You see it all the time. Guys feel their value is worth more than the team does, and it's the cutthroat part of the business. You get to an age, you get to a certain point, and a lot of the NFL contracts are backloaded, and because they're not guaranteed, they can cut you and save salary cap space, and that's why you're seeing a lot of big-name guys who had big contracts get cut now.
That sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Lastly, DeMarco Murray resurrected his career in Tennessee after a failed stint in Philly. But now the 30-year-old running back will become available yet again. The Titans plan to release Murray in order to more prominently feature third-year back and former Heisman Trophy winner Derrick Henry. Murray was set to make $6.5 million in 2018.
Again, same story. And if 30, it's like dog years with running backs. 30 is like 70 in human life. You are ancient as a 30-year-old running back, so no surprise there. All right, let's get to our guests. We teased them off the top of the show. Let's bring in Reed Forgrave for a little college basketball talk.
All right, let's get to business. Since you're a Mizzou grad, and obviously Michael Porter Jr., played for the first time since having surgery yesterday. What were the emotions surrounding that from a fan base, and what do you think we can expect from him in the tournament?
The coolest moment yesterday was when he checked into the game. Konzo Martin didn't start him. Played him, I think, 23 minutes. But he came in about 2 or 3 minutes into the game. And this is, a two-hour drive down Interstate 70 from Columbia, Missouri. And it was filled with Mizzou fans. And the place went nuts. It was a standing ovation for this guy who hadn't played since November 10th. And what he looked like when he was out there was an absolute superstar who hadn't played since November 10th. He was tentative. His shots were pretty consistently coming up short. He's awesome. Like, the comparisons out there are mini Kevin Durant. I think that's a little bit overheated. I'd call him like a supercharged Jason Tatum. Somewhere in between those two players, there's a pretty big gulf in between those guys. He's awesome. I don't know if having just one game under him will give him the seed legs that he needs to be 100% Michael Porter Jr., a guy who I think is a for sure top five pick. But you could definitely see when he was out there, despite the fact he only made 5 of 17 shots, you could see just the beautiful shooting form, the natural scoring ability. He's, I think, probably the best natural scorer in college basketball this year, will be the best one in the draft in June. So, look, this takes Missouri from a team that's a 8-9 seed that probably almost certainly wouldn't have made it out of the first weekend to probably, I think, the most dangerous 8-9 seed since Kentucky back in 2014, when Kentucky limped into the tournament but then ended up making the title game.
All right, I totally agree. I think they could be dangerous in a year that's been wide open with college basketball. We've seen upsets all over the place, so it'll be fun to watch them play. With that being said, with Selection Sunday coming up, do you have a solid bead on who you think the four number one seeds will be? Like, I think Virginia's the obvious easy one, but are the other ones in place too?
Yeah, Virginia's obvious. Probably the two Big East teams, I think Villanova and Xavier, are probably pretty obvious, as I'm frantically typing in Jerry Palm's name to my Google. Yeah, this is fourth number one seed. If Duke beats Carolina tonight, there could be a very good chance that Duke ends up snagging that number one seed. I think Kansas would probably have it right now. But basically, Kansas' only effective big man, Udoka Azubuike, is injured. He's out for the Big 12 tournament. I think that means that Kansas almost certainly doesn't win the Big 12 tournament. They might have had a one seed locked up anyway, but the committee does take things into account, like, hey, are they the same team going into the tournament that got this number one seed to begin with? So it's possible the committee could look at the injury and say, hey, we're going to knock them down below Duke if Duke wins and Kansas loses. But I think it's probably just between those five teams.
Interesting. So I know the big programs, and I know who's going to win when I'm filling out my bracket on the 1-16 game. But what I don't know is, like, what that Cinderella team is going to be this year. Who's that big mid-major program that's going to make noise in the tournament? Do you, like, what's your feeling on that? What team is going to jump up and just dance all the way into the Sweet 16?
I would have said Middle Tennessee, but they lost last night in their conference tournament. They're probably not going to make the NCAA. So that's too bad. Rhode Island is a really interesting team. If you want to call an A-10 team a mid-major, I think you probably do. Danny Hurley is just, he's a Hurley, right? Mm-hmm. He's an absolutely intense coach, gets after it. But I think he's an awesome coach who's going to go big time someday soon. They're just a very experienced group with E.C. Matthews, I think, could be an NBA talent. He's had some injuries. He's a little bit old for a guy who's going to be going in the draft. He's a senior this year, but Rhode Island is a really, really interesting team. So that would be the one that I would probably circle. If you want to go a little bit deeper to the Western Athletic Conference, my guy Chris Jans is coaching at New Mexico State. If they make the tournament, I think it could be really scary because this is, an experienced team that he took over, and they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. Chris Jans is a Greg Marshall acolyte, coached at Wichita State under Greg Marshall for years. And these guys play like a Greg Marshall team. They just absolutely get after it. He told me he had a, like, took over just this season. He's the coach that had that weird video about him at a bar when he was the Bowling Green coach. I don't know if you guys remember this. Deadspin wrote about it, and he got fired from that after 1 year at Bowling Green. But he's an awesome coach, and he told me that he had a tough time reaching this group at the beginning of the season, and once he reached them, they bought in, and they're a tough team. But this tournament does have we say this every year, it does have a sense that this is going to be an absolutely wide open tournament after an absolutely wide open college basketball season.
I think it also has some really intriguing storylines as far as who gets in, who's on the bubble. And it was funny because the last couple of days, nobody's done anything to help themselves outside of Alabama, who had the, you know, Colin Sexton hit that big shot yesterday. But you had Notre Dame lose with Bonzi Colson back. Oklahoma loses in their Big 12 tournament. They've been atrocious down the stretch. Texas lost. Like, all these teams that are on the bubble. Do you think – let's talk about Oklahoma specifically, because they've been one of the most talked about teams because of Trae Young and his impact that he's had. Do you think they get in, and should they?
I think the first four in Dayton is the perfect place for them. Uh-huh. Because remember, they were – a month ago, they were in that top 16 that the committee revealed, and they were the one team that people were like, huh, they don't belong here. What are you talking about? And – like, they've hardly won a game since then. That's what the first four is for, I think. To be able to get a team that has some potential, that has shown flashes, and yet just has certainly hasn't secured that perfect bid. And I think that would be great for the NCAA to have a team like that on this event that people generally don't watch. People will watch it if Trae Young's playing there.
No, I agree 100%. You put Trae Young in a game like that, and that
But that, to me, shouldn't be why. They should have to earn their way in, not just because they have a player who's exciting.
Well, no,
I think they earned it, though. I think, like, if you look, they had some really good wins. Granted, most of them were, like, in non-conference or back in January. But they do have some really good wins. I think, like, the whole of their resume is that they probably earned it. It's just, if you pay attention to the past month, they've just been trash.
So what is your take on Trae Young as a player and his skill set transitioning to the NBA? And then secondly, who in the tournament can we look for in terms of players that might be off the radar on a national scene that may be making some noise in the tournament and elevating their NBA stock?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Trae Young's going to be awesome in the NBA. Look, he's a little dude, right? And he can make shots and he can distribute the ball, and there will always be questions when a guy is that slight going into the NBA. And these are the exact same questions that people had on Steph Curry when he was picked 7th overall after the Minnesota Timberwolves. Skipped him with the two picks before that. My hometown team, good job, guys. I think he's going to be great. He's really turnover prone. But if you look at his freshman year statistics, they're like the advanced statistics that he has are almost identical to Steph Curry's statistics his junior year, his final season at Davidson. And this is Trae Young playing against a brutal Pac-12 that is keyed on him. Versus, you know, I think what Davidson was in the Southern Conference that year. I keep getting that mixed up. So I do think Trae Young will be a really, really good NBA player if he can withstand the taxing physical nature of the league. As far as other NBA guys, there's a guy I was watching last night in this SEC tournament. His name's Daniel Gafford. He's a freshman for Arkansas. And I think he's been playing basketball since he was only in ninth grade. He was in the school band until someone was like, hey, you're tall, you should play basketball. And he's like, clearly doesn't understand the game of basketball, but he's just a gazelle out there. He's like a 7-footer who has just a nonstop motor. He's going to be fun to watch. He was fun to watch last night. Gosh, I'm trying to look through some mock drafts and see who else is in the mix. Colin Sexton, I know he's a guy that's on a lot of people's radars, but he probably got Alabama into the tournament last night, or at least he let them live for another day with that end-to-end, basically a George Gervin, like, finger roll from the free throw line. It was insane at the buzzer. And it wasn't just one play. He dominated the entire game, 27 points, made three threes. He was distributing the ball. He, to me, is – I think people – this draft is absolutely stacked at the top, that top tier of, like, six, seven players is awesome. And I include him in that top tier. I think a lot of people don't. They put him like right outside that. But I think he can be a superstar at the next level. Plus, he has just amazing hair. Like, Alabama has literally the best hair of any team in college basketball. So I think that needs to count for something.
All right, man. Hey, enjoy the SEC tournament there in St. Louis. Hey, go out and have some fun, will you?
Yeah, whatever. I'm going back to sleep right now.
we'll rest up.
I'm flying to Vegas on Saturday morning, so I'm saving up my fun for the weekend when I'm going to the Pac-12 final and I'm doing a Selection Sunday show out there in Vegas. So that's when I can go have some fun, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, you got to pace yourself for Vegas, no doubt. All right, thanks to Reed Forgrave for joining us. We appreciate it, man. It's been a ton of fun. You can follow him at Reed Forgrave on Twitter, and also check him out on CBS Sports HQ, where he covers our college basketball and the NBA for us. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, let's do some unwritten rules, because there was a situation that happened last night in college basketball where you had the Colorado versus Arizona State. There was a late game Colorado dunk. They were winning. Arizona State player gets shoved, and then they come over, and there's a little scuffle. The coach gets involved. He actually gets hurt, the head coach for Colorado. But it comes to that point where you get to the game, and there are some unwritten rules. You don't run up the score. You don't throw down vicious dunks at the end of the game. Are you a fan of unwritten rules, or do you think they're lame? Do you want some other examples, or do you want to just go with your own?
You could give me some examples. Why don't you give me some examples?
So for basketball, I think you don't run up the score. You don't throw down dunks like that. Yeah. Baseball, you don't bat flip, watch the home run for 10 seconds as you're running down first baseline. You don't shoot the puck towards the goal after a whistle. I did not know this. Hockey, that's a hockey unwritten rule. You don't try to bunt to break up a no-hitter. I actually know if that's an official.
It's unwritten. None of these are official.
No, an official unwritten rule. Oh. I don't know if that one's in there. You don't cross the pitcher's mound.
What's that mean, don't cross the pitcher's mound?
Like if you're running out to the field or you're coming back from an out. Like if
A-Rod once did it against Dallas Braden, and Braden just was not having
like
it.
I can't run from my position if you
were trying to beat out a single and you got thrown out at first base and you circled back, you're going back to your dugout and you ran past the pitcher's mound.
Oh,
like that's his territory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want
that. All right. Yeah. Okay. So dumb.
Disrespectful.
They're all dumb.
Oh, what about this one? Kick the ball out of bounds when someone is injured in soccer.
Yeah.
Did not know that one. What do you think? What do you think of the unwritten rules?
I think they're all dumb.
All right, so you're okay with the team running up the score.
Listen, if you don't like it, do something about it. Real talk. If you don't want a lob thrown on you, then defend. Like what do you want me to do? So because I see it as like I was a guy who may not have played until the end of the game at times in my career. And so I come in this game and I've been sitting there practicing all week and we're winning because it's the only time I'm gonna get in. We're up 10, and I don't get to shoot a shot. Like I get my last minute and a half of the game, and I don't get to shoot a shot. Like,
all right. Here's the difference.
Right.
Here's the difference. Because I think that is totally okay. Like, if you put in backups and you're still shooting, I have no problem with that. But what if you leave in your starters when you're up 25 and there's 4 minutes in the game?
Well, that's disrespectful, certainly. I mean, there's a level of sportsmanship that you would hope that people would...
That's what I'm talking about. So that's the unwritten rule.
No, but
there's an unwritten rule to take out your starters if you're
up 20. Well, that's different. I mean, we didn't talk about that one. But, like, and I would only say that because... If you have a bench full of kids or young men that need the opportunity to play, like that's their opportunity to play.
Right.
But if I didn't have like a bench and I was only a 7-deep team, like I'd keep playing.
What
I'm
about
not gonna pull the dog? Like I'm not gonna ask people to stop playing because they're too good for your team. I don't subscribe to that at all.
What about the bat flip? Because it was the Toronto Blue Jays playoff.
I would throw that thing around like a helicopter if I hit a damn home run. I whip that thing over my head and like flip it. Like I got no problem with a bat flip. And you're talking about like the bat flip, Danny, is not even like a throw it up 20 feet in the air flip.
Most of the time, they look like accidents.
It's like how many rotations?
Jose Bautista probably had like four.
So Jose Bautista, but like his came in a playoff game. It was a walk off, right? It was a game winner. I don't know if it was a walk off or not. I'm okay with that one.
Yeah.
But see, this is where the unwritten rules come back. Because I've talked to a lot of baseball players specifically about that one, and they're like, in that situation, they're okay with
walk
it.
Walk off.
But if it's, you know, the middle of June and it's the third inning, and there's a player up there, and he gets a, you know, a solo home run, and he's showboating, like, watching it and walking down the first baseline, he's getting ear-holed the next time he comes up to bat.
Why?
And I'm okay with that. Because you don't want to show up. You don't want to show up the other team. Like, be classy about it.
I don't know. I feel like baseball players play extra dirty. Like, I see that being fine. Like, they all do dumb stuff like that all the time.
A flip of a bat is a showboat. I'm trying to equate that to, like, what that would be in... like the NBA. The NBA.
All right, so here's the equivalent. Okay. Here's the equivalent. You're on defense.
Right.
Guy's coming down the lane and dunks on you.
Yeah.
But then he walks over you and stands over you for 3 seconds.
That's not the same.
It is, too.
It's not nearly the same.
How about
Steph's shimmies and dances after he hits a three or turning around and walking before the shots even?
No problem with that.
Like, yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Is that a similar equation?
Yeah, I think so. Or that's what I was going to equate it to, like, when you hit a three in my face, like, you cross me. James Harden did it the other day. Stood there and looked at him
when he went down.
And then shot it. Or all of those threes that they put to their forehead and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, look, if you don't like it, pitcher, do something about it.
If I don't
want you throwing threes in my face, I got to do something about it.
It's different than, like, Scotty pushing down Patrick Ewing and pointing at him.
That's a physical thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you went up to me as a pitcher after you hit a home run and elbowed me in the chest and said, yeah, I just jacked that. Now we got a beef. But the feelings hurt type of stuff, like, I just don't buy into that. Like,
I'm all about trying to dominate games, trying to win, and I like to have fun. But it's what was ingrained in me from my dad.
Yeah.
He said, I'd rather you win the best sportsmanship award.
No, I hear that.
No, he didn't say that. He wanted me to win. But he also wanted me to win.
He wanted you to win in the right way.
I like to do that.
Yeah, and I like...
Because I think there is a right way. That's the unwritten part. There is kind of a right way to do stuff.
I say,
like,
all
of
that.
Like, what if your boys are out there playing and they're showboating after three and they're...
Listen, I don't let... The first time one of the kids, like, when we first started in third grade, one of my kids hit a three and he started doing the Steph Curry stuff, I call it timeout and I let everybody know that's not how we do it.
Right.
Like, I say that I don't mind it, but I don't teach it. Like, my kids, we were up... like 15 the other day at the John Lucas, and one of my kids hit a buzzer beater at halftime to put us up like 17, and the bench started going crazy. And you would have thought, like, one of my kids, like, started a fight or something. I ran out there, I stopped them all, I sat them down. I don't do it. Like, I wasn't a showboat when I played. Having said that, like, I think that it's a joyful game sometimes, and I don't have a problem with other people doing it, but I'm with you. Like, I was taught, like, act like you've been there before, dude. Just do it. Win and keep it moving.
Side note, before we move on to topics, I almost got kicked out of a youth basketball game last night.
What?
My daughter's playing in the playoffs.
No way.
10 years old. First of all, her team is full of 10-year-olds, and they're playing a team with a lot of 12-year-olds,
right.
Girls basketball. The other team was playing like this. You're not supposed to go full court press.
Yep.
You're supposed to, like, just play regular defense. So they had like this 3-2, like, half court press.
Yeah,
like, they were waiting, like, at the line.
Yeah.
And they were dialed in. But the other thing that they did, and this is what bothered me, is they would cherry pick. And it was so bad. Like, they would only, because they were that much better, but they would leave a fifth girl back at the other end of the court. And then they had one girl who was like 12 and who could throw it the length of the court. So every time there was a bucket or a miss, they would go out, launch it back, and get a layup. And it was driving me nuts. And I didn't want to get on our coaches because I don't coach. Like,
right.
And that's my thing. They put in the time. But I started yelling at the other coaches, being like, that's not basketball.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you.
Danny's going to need an anger manager.
Yeah, I might have to. But I took
a deep
breath.
I can recommend one.
All right. Since we're here, we need some feel-good stories. All right? So let's get to our feel-good minute. On Wednesday, our South Florida legend, D. Wade, made a surprise visit just up the road to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, the site of February's mass shooting. The Heat star met with students and teachers, telling them they were inspiring him. One of the shooting victims, Joaquin Oliver, was buried in Wade's Heat jersey. D. Wade had Oliver's name written on his sneakers and dedicated the rest of the season to him as well. It's been one of the best stories of the NBA this year. In fact, he hit the game winner one night with his name on his shoe. Mm-hmm. But D. Wade didn't only just put the name on the shoe. He actually went to Douglas this week on Wednesday. He went to Parkland, and after he met with some of the students, he tweeted out, I just had a great conversation with some of the students at Stoneman Douglas High about some important, impactful things that they have planned. I'm looking forward to being more involved in the change that they will create. Hashtag MSD strong. Awesome story for D. Wade to get involved locally and do more than just send out a tweet or just put something on the shoe, but to actually go visit those students.
Yeah. I love this story. I feel like more athletes need to look at this and do stories like this. And D. Wade specifically is like, he has such class when he does that. I worked with him once. I interviewed him once at a hospital, and it was a children's hospital, and he got in trouble for staying in these rooms too long and for talking to these kids for too long. They were like, we got to go. You have other things to do.
Yep.
But he really takes his time and he really appreciates the community. And I think that more athletes need to do that. Of course, this situation is unbearable. But yeah, he really made the best out of a terrible situation.
Yeah, he did. You applaud him for that. Like a lot of athletes now, the old saying is put your money where your mouth is. Athletes typically don't have a problem doing that. What I ask him to do is put your time where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. Like go out there, like hit the streets, get involved with the youth or the community, get your hands dirty. Like when we played, my wife was always really good about going above and beyond what the team had set up for us in terms of community work and going out there and picking organizations for us to work with as a family. I think it's really important, even when things are great for our guys to do in their community, but when tragedy hits and you can make a difference, like I'm all for it. I applaud him for it.
Yeah, it's easy to cut a check, but it means something to give your time. Absolutely. So that's really cool from D-Wade. All right, let's get to it. Let's do some topics.
Topics. This one might be our most polarizing topic yet. Tom Brady shaved his head.
Whoa.
He did raise a ton of money for cancer research.
Good.
How's he look? What do you think? Hannah, Danny.
No, he does like, this good. All the time.
This is you two.
Who cares? Why is this a headline?
He was like at a mall. There were a ton of people there. Like he did in a chair. A bunch of people were
Tom
lined
Brady
up.
Tom Brady raises money for charity. Done.
That's good.
That's it.
But he had to do something for it. He shaves his head all the time, though.
That's a lot of money.
I'm saying it's fine that he... I'm saying it's
just
fine.
Just give him some props. It's not that hard. Just say, well done, Tom Brady.
No,
can you say that?
No. athletes give to charity all the time.
Can
athletes
you just say, way to go, Tom? You can't.
No.
This is a good thing.
No. I think I applaud him for giving so much to charity. But, like, why is it a big deal that he shaved his head? Nobody cares.
I thought it was cool.
I feel like I need to stay out of this.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. Next topic.
Yeah.
Next
on.
Topic.
Wait, what do you think?
No, that's it.
I'm out.
So, Raja, you ever post any workout videos? Workout videos seem to be kind of an ongoing craze.
Big time.
You guys were talking about kind of flaunting on the court. These guys flaunting off the field, off the court. Alvin Kamara had a sick video the other day pulling a Jeep. These guys' cars are featured in a lot of them. If you guys during your careers were to post one of your workouts, what would it be?
I can picture you guys being
the
there.
The curls I was doing at the bar with the two. No. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? We had some pretty cool – late in my career, I picked up CrossFit. It didn't really correlate to on-court success, but I don't know if that was because I was just an older player anyway. But it really was cool, and it transformed my body. But some of the stuff we were doing out there with the sledgehammers, the double-ups or whatever they call them, the ring work and the tires, like it was cool work. It would have been something like
I
that.
I definitely would have tried to put out a workout video, like of something that I was doing that looked cool, but it wouldn't be really hard to find something that was cool. When I was in the Broncos, we used to have to do these, and you'd do it with the whole team. Like, it was official off-season workouts. A lot of these guys are working out on their own. But we would do, in lines, you would do box jumps. And I'm sitting there going with guys who have 37, 38-inch verticals with my 27, 28-inch vertical. And it's after you're tired. And I was scared to death that I was just going to tear up my shins, like not clear the box.
Yeah.
So I would have had to maybe edit some of these to make them look good. I think they're kind of cheesy, and I think every player wants to look how hard I'm working.
They're like, so cheesy. They I don't care what you do and who you are.
Right.
You put out a workout video, and it's like you kind of like,
yeah,
you do
it's,
that?
It's a little cringeworthy. You know what I mean? But I think they do it thinking, hey, look how hard I'm working. Like, let me showcase this. But show me the results at the end of the year.
Like, it's better than like a mirror selfie at the
car
gym.
With like what was on his shoulders. Like, it was,
yeah.
I mean, it was.
But is it that hard to pull a car?
I don't know.
And
it's a good question.
I don't think it is.
Probably good not. Question.
Team activity.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a J.J. Watt workout video in a while.
Because he learned. He learned like the backlash of doing too many workout videos. It's like, all right, chill out, buddy.
Danny, this last one for you. They have started to make UCF national champion license plates.
Yeah.
I saw your car in the parking lot this morning, and you had the first one.
Not yet. I still have Connecticut plates. But I have to switch. I would do it if I didn't go to Florida State. Because I think Florida State fans would actually be mad at me.
You can have a sticker somewhere else.
That is true.
93 national champs.
I love
champs.
It. Why shouldn't they get a license plate? Like, good for them. Everybody else has license plates in this
Because they're
state.
Not national champs.
Yeah, they are. They're co-national champs. They went undefeated. Hey, I like it. Hey, they can call it whatever they want to. Good for them.
Do we have a five-star Q&A sound?
Ooh.
We have a five-star Q&A sound.
Let's hear it.
Five-star Q&A.
What a major eye roll. It reminds me of like a movie trailer. And then the movie trailer like sucks.
Shout out our voiceover guy.
Yeah, shout out our voiceover guy. I think they need to be just a little bit longer, like a little bit more information. Like, here's our Friday five-star Q&A with Hannah. And maybe a little music underneath the bed.
Mm. No, we need sirens.
Yeah.
That's still a laser. Still a laser.
Okay. From Game Day Cole, he says, what did you think of the new ball introduced to the NBA in 2006?
That ball was the worst It was awful. It was super sticky. And so everybody, like any bounce pass that you threw with the old ball would skip across the court. The new ball was so grabby that it would like check up and hop right into the air. So it changed the way people passed. Same thing with shooting off the glass. Like you shoot it off the glass, the ball would kind of slide off the glass and you knew what angle to put it in. Ugh. Well, this one grabbed the glass and stopped. So all kind of layups on the backboard or little jumpers off the backboard were different. And that wasn't even the worst part. Like guys like Steve Nash, myself, Eddie House, Leandro Barbosa, just guys that I know on the Suns, the ball was so grabby that every time you caught it, it pulled at your nail bed a little bit, like that Stop. Right underneath your nail.
Yeah.
We had huge cuts under our nail from the ball grabbing every time we caught it. You'd have, you know, three fingers on a hand would have like big old like wounds on them because of this ball. It was the worst thing the NBA ever did.
Man. All right, from Houston Cora. If Raja gave it his all, could Danny score in a hoops game of 1-on-1 to 10?
I'll let him answer first.
I think he just answered.
Am I in shape?
Am I in shape?
Here's, after
the podcast, we'll put
yeah,
that
he'd probably get a bucket.
I think I could get one.
He'd get a bucket.
It'd have to be kind of a prayer. They would have to be from deep. But I think I could get some range.
Because physically, like right now, like you give me two checks at the ball and I'm going to be really tired. So you're gonna get a bucket.
All right. Props to me.
All right. From Creamy19NE, I hate your handle. Please change it.
Me too.
Danny and Raja, if you didn't have this podcast and were not allowed to pursue a profession in sports, what do you think you would currently be doing?
No sports?
So this is like no sports ever. Like this is what we assume. What would your profession be if you didn't become professional athletes? That's from SoxFan75. A little bit better worded question, too. I was pre-med my first 2 years at Florida State, and then I gave it up because I was playing two sports. It was just way too much to do.
Sure.
My dad's a doctor. I would have liked to think that I would have tried to pursue that, but, man, going to medical school was hard. Like, I don't know if I would have had it in me. That would have been my first guess. The other thing would have been maybe real estate.
What kind of medicine?
I probably would have followed my dad, like sports medicine.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, he's so
no sports.
No sports.
That's a good point. Plastic surgeon, then, for sure.
Honestly, I don't know. And this is just me being honest.
Wait, one of those. Yeah. You never thought about it?
Nope.
Doesn't that kind of scare you? Like,
it
somewhat,
does. Really
right?
scary. I mean, I said it to my wife the other day about how lucky and blessed I was to, like, and I had thought about it. Don't get me wrong. There was nothing that ever really interested me like sports did. So there was nothing that I could see myself doing that wasn't sport related because just nothing interested me like that. And it's a scary thing. Lucky for me,
that's
it worked
crazy.
Out.
That's crazy. I feel like I could see you being like a professor.
A professor?
Yeah.
I was.
What subject?
Like,
math based on the other day.
Oh, okay. So wise.
No,
do you know
right.
what I mean?
No.
Wait, what about you? What would you be doing if you weren't in sports, Debo?
I wanted to be a dentist when I was like 5.
No way.
And then I got afraid of.
Who wants to be a dentist?
I hate
it's kind
dentist.
Of interesting. Me too. Yeah. Everybody hates the dentist.
Yeah, you now I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Not when I was 5.
Oh, that's what terrified me when I was 5. What else we got?
From They Call Me Hazuda.
Hazuda.
Hazuda. Wow. Rob from ATL's friend. All right. Fort Lauderdale area golf suggestion / favorite.
Ooh.
Fort Lauderdale area. Take
yeah. There's some good golf around here. I would say private. If you're looking for private, I would go with my old stomping grounds, Coral Ridge Country Club.
Okay.
Shout out to the Ridge. Public. What do you got? Can you get on Weston Hills?
Yeah.
Is that private?
Weston's private. Fort Lauderdale's private.
It's not semi? Like you can't get out there?
You probably can. I mean, it's not semi technically, but you could probably get out. But I would say if you're going private, I would throw Adios. Adios is...
Oh, yeah. Well, Hannah can't play there, though.
Oh, true. True.
It's all men's club.
No females.
Shout out International Women's
Day. Like,
it's incredible.
That's fine.
For that reason, I can't go
Adios.
Public?
It's hard to think of.
Is like, Top Golf a thing people like to do?
Yeah. Have you been to Top Golf?
I don't think that's what Hazuda was asking for.
No, I know, but listen.
Shout
I've
out
only...
Top Golf. No, it is a ton of fun. I've done it with my family.
I you feel like it's
your
a
boys.
Good.
Is it open down in
Miami Gardens?
Oh,
it's
word?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
They
it's like
Top Golf in Miami Gardens.
Yeah,
you can see it if you ever drive down to Miami from Fort Lauderdale. You can literally see it
off of 95.
Yeah, the first time I can see it in the distance.
Yeah,
we're there.
There you go.
I think it's like a good date night.
Oh, it's a great date night. It would be. Yeah.
All jokes aside, Plantation Preserve, very nice public track.
Good call.
Jacaranda's nice.
Yep.
You start going up to like Deerfield. You got Deer Park, I believe
Deer
it is.
Creek.
Deer Creek. Sorry, yep. Yeah, very good public.
There
track.
We go. We got you. We got to Hazuda. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
He also says, Danny, what was the longest, most ridiculous / crazy night you ever had in college?
Why am I the only one getting asked this question?
Because I didn't do that.
Did Bobby know at practice the next day?
All right. So there used to have a thing called Spring Weekend in Panama City.
Oh yeah,
which was
I'm
a ton of fun. Yeah, it was a blast. So the longest crazy weekend I ever had, I was playing football and baseball.
Yeah,
and I was playing baseball. For Florida State. And we had a series against Wake Forest, and all my football buddies were going over to the spring weekend. So I was kind of like, man, I'm like, this sucks. Like, I got to play baseball now. But didn't let it stop me. So we had a game, got over around 10 o'clock, made the drive to Panama City after the game. It was a pretty good night. Like, it was a fun night. Stayed out late, slept in. But I had to be back for the game on Saturday night because it was a three-game series.
Right.
Had so much fun Friday night that I actually did the same trip again Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't just one night. It was kind of this whole weekend.
How far of a drive?
It was about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't too bad,
yeah.
But it was long. Like,
yeah,
I had to go back and forth and back and forth. But Sunday, the third, like, the rubber mats between the games.
He did it again.
I didn't do it again, but let me just say, I was hurting in the dugout during that game.
What year was that?
My sophomore year.
Yeah, let me just tell everyone, Panama City is kind of like watching Florabama Shore on
Not
MTV.
Kind of. It is. Like,
it's
the Redneck
exactly
Riviera.
Yeah.
It is. It's spring break, but it's like
it's
cheesy spring break.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun. We had like, 14 guys staying in a Holiday Inn in one room,
oh
all football players. One of the dudes, offensive lineman, had the worst smelling feet of any. Like, it stunk up the entire room the whole weekend. And everybody was killing him, and he couldn't do anything to get rid of it. It was awful.
Ew, that's awful.
Yeah,
I would kick him out.
It was nasty.
All right, to both again, if you could pick any professional sport other than the one you played, what would it be and why?
This is easy for me. It's baseball.
Baseball.
Like, I wish I would have played baseball. That's my thing.
I like football. Yeah, I would have liked to. I mean, I don't know that I would have wanted to play it.
You could have been, because I've heard you actually get mistaken for this guy.
Yeah.
I think you could have been like Jason Taylor. Like, he's not that much bigger than you. You could have bulked up, and you were a little bit taller than him.
You guys both have the same
Like, I think you would have been a nasty. I think you could have been. I think you could have made it.
JT likes to hoop too.
Yeah,
like, he gets into some hoop games. He gets real physical on a basketball court.
You got a good mindset for it too. Like, you would have that. Focus, you get angry, like, you got that intensity level that you would need. I think you could have done it, for sure.
I wish so badly I, like, pursued a sport and I stayed with it.
Yeah. Volleyball.
Guys, I would have been. Volleyball was the only thing I was, like, mediocre at.
How tall?
Me?
Yeah.
5'9".
That's a good height.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been
Anyways. CB Morning says, in Madden or 2K, do you create yourselves? And if so, what is your ratings when you do?
I don't. Mine was awful.
No, I used to when I was younger, though, and always my rating would be like 1,000, like whatever the best rating could be. Like, I didn't play video games for like the purity of them. I played them for like trying to see how many passing yards I could throw if I was a quarterback, and I made myself. No, but I don't play them anymore. My kids do. My kids play, but they don't create themselves. They just go out there and play with the teams.
Good stuff. I didn't do it because I was awful. My ratings were awful. All right. That's a wrap for us this Friday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Make sure you go check us out on Apple Podcasts. Download, subscribe. Leave us those 5-star reviews. In them, ask your question, which we will get to every Friday like we did today. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram @Kennell and Bell. Everyone have a fantastic weekend.